This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Hour number two, Anish filling in for Wes. We continue to stream live on the ESPN app. You've got us on SiriusXM Channel 371 and an assortment of radio stations in the ACC footprint as well. Again, 844-SAY-ACCN, the number for the program. Many thanks to Dana Boyle, who made her debut and now heading to get bagels with somehow ketchup with eggs. Not going for that, but that's a whole separate issue for another day. Anish, we've got, and you're the perfect guy today to talk lacrosse and how it's just taken off, not only from around the country, but from the ACC perspective. Maybe it's never been better, right? From that, I mean, it's men's side, women's side, top five teams, national championship contenders everywhere you look. It's just ridiculously good.
Both the men's and women's, we had Dana on, and I think, as you said, every time Dana comes on this show now, you're going to have to give her grief for catch up with bagels. But listen, the league as a whole, on both the men's and women's side, I mean, this is a perfect fillet. This is, you know, your high-end steak. This league this season is as good as we've seen in the history of this sport. And for a long time, you got to remember, too, a lot of the top teams were independents. But there was a moment a few weeks ago, Pac, I'm watching your show, and I caught the tail end of your segment with John Desko. And then somebody sent me the clip of the beginning of it. And it was really nice to see you and Wes kind of profess your love of this growing sport watching Thursday night lacrosse. And as somebody who's kind of been embedded in that world for a while, the ACC network is the single best thing to happen to college lacrosse and the sport. It's given us a platform to promote the game, to showcase the game. And this year, you have five of the six or seven best teams in the country all in one league. That Thursday night showcase, which I thought you put it great, like that has given lacrosse kind of an isolated window. You want to watch great theater? You want to watch great sports? Come to ACC Network on a Thursday night.
Yeah, I think it's kind of like what happened with wrestling in this league with the Friday night duels on ACC Network. And, you know, the league had five teams in the top 25, and NC State was really good, and Virginia Tech and Pitt, and, you know, go through the whole list here. But Friday night duels became almost appointment viewing, and I think it's happened with lacrosse on Thursday on ACC Network. And every time we hyped up a matchup, man, you'd watch the game that night and go, man, it was even better than what those two idiots were talking about in the morning. In every single game, it seemed like it was overtime or sudden victory or one goal or, hey, how's this thing going to end? And the controversial shoe drop. And I mean, it had a little bit of everything. And every team that's playing is really, really good. And you mentioned, you know, John Desko. He appeared on our show back on April the 16th. And we were kicking around the idea about why this sport is taking off. And here's what Coach had to say, breaking it down for us.
It's a sport that once you understand the rules, you get hooked. You know, a lot of people don't always understand, you know, why the ball went out of bounds, how come the other team got it back, and so on.
Right.
But there's even, you know, mentioned sports, there's a lot of basketball in there, give and goes, pick and rolls, man-to-man defense, zone defense. You know, the clear and ride is kind of like a full court press in basketball. So it's very similar to other sports, and once you get the nuances of it, the rules, it's an addictive sport to watch.
So, Pac, let me ask you this, because I was in your shoes, you know, going back when I was in college, where I had to follow lacrosse because that was an opportunity to get involved with football and basketball. Didn't really know much about it, and essentially had to cover it because, you know, had to follow it because I had to. Then got hooked because I saw great teams, great players, the transcendent player at Syracuse at the time, and Mikey Powell. I'm curious from your perspective, like, what has been the biggest draw for you? Like, what is it that keeps you coming back?
Well, it's a couple things. Number one, it's an offensive game, right? And again, I don't know all the rules. When that happened the other night with the Notre Dame-Duke game, I didn't know the play stops when a piece of equipment falls off. I thought it was just a great play by Notre Dame to basically win it in regulation. So I'm still learning the rules as we go along. But I just love the fact that it has a combination of all these different sports. And that's what we brought up with John Desko, that it is a combination of football and basketball and hockey. And the fact that, you know what, it's not 2-1, right? Again, and I'm trying to make the comparison in the spring, if I'm watching a soccer match or I'm watching lacrosse, and they're two different worlds and two different universes. But for soccer, to me, it's kind of an acquired taste, right? The nuances of the sport. Lacrosse, while you still try to figure it out, if you're a layman like me, there's so much going on. The physicality of the sport, fast breaks, people are going to score. It's not, hey, 1-2 wins. It's not one of those deals at all. And the other thing is, we've had the ability of on being on the show of interviewing so many players and coaches that you get to know the personalities. I mean, the difference of the men's game and the women's game, to me, intrigues me in terms of even the goal score. And we've had fun laughing about how the ladies, you know, flip the stick down in the men's game. It's like, hey, face off, let's go. But I just think that this the rapidness, the speed of the sport is what I find to be so great. And the fact, let's be honest, the teams are great, right? I mean, every match is a showdown. I mean, it's a, hey, everybody's ranked in the top 10. Let's go play. Everybody's got dudes. And given the pandemic and the fact that the Ivy League's not playing and you've had this influx of unbelievable talent, people have depth. They can score. They defend. Styles are different. There's terrific personalities. I mean, the sport really does have everything you're looking for. If you're somebody that's never followed it, I didn't grow up with it. And that's why I keep saying it on Thursday night. If you got nothing to do, I highly suggest find ACC Network, put the remote down, and just watch the sport. And if you're not hooked after 2 hours, hey, you go find something else to watch. But the game and the sport and the way it's being played right now in this conference is out of sight.
Yeah, a few years ago they brought the shot clock in, and that has really sped up the game. And it's made it more of a fast break, unsettled type of offense, and offense sells. I've said it on the air a few times this year. Every ACC game feels like Godzilla versus King Kong because you have these two titans, these two Goliaths. And, I mean, I guess you could say Scorpion versus Sub-Zero to update the reference now. But the point is, it is high-level lacrosse, elite teams. And because of the pandemic and the shortened season last year and all these guys coming back, there's more talent concentrated in the game now than ever before. And that's one of the things that doesn't get talked about as much. The game is growing. We see it. We live in Charlotte, Pac. 10 years ago, you didn't see a ton of people with lacrosse sticks. You see it now. You see schools that are playing out here. You see people taking lacrosse sticks to the dog park. And the game is starting to expand. The game is starting to grow, at least geographically. Demographically, it still has work to do. You know, you want to make this thing bigger, it's got to look like the rest of America. We're not even close in that regards yet. But there is this hashtag, grow the game. And the more it grows geographically, you see players from Florida, California, the Pacific Northwest, the Denver area, the Midwest, and Ohio produces some really good players. You've always had Long Island, Baltimore. The Carolinas are getting better. So there's more talent. There's more parity. Everybody's got players, whereas 15, 20 years ago, you know, four or five teams had all the guys. And so that's made it's made the sport more fun. And I'm glad that you're on board. And let me ask you one more market research question here, which is, like, what don't you like about it? Like, what could we do differently in our presentation to better sell this to, again, not so much the hardcore niche fan who's going to complain but watch every game, but, you know, to somebody like you who's new to this and likes what they're seeing?
Oh, that's an easy answer. That's an easy answer. Better announcers.
I agree.
Other than that, you know, more cark, less hair. That's what I'm talking. Other than that, no, listen, for me, it's great. And that thing, I kid with you, but
you're turning into my Twitter feed now.
No. I'm kidding with you, but you know, to me, as somebody that's still picking up the nuances of the sport, the rules and so forth, the announcers are pivotal here. It's not just somebody filling in to say, listen, I've got a game to call. you guys love the sport. And I think that comes across, too, in the broadcast. I mean, just talking to Dana a second ago, you know, she's played it. She knows it. She knows it inside and out and wants to promote the sport. So it kind of feels, I did a show on radio last week, and it was all about lacrosse, because it was like, when have you ever found another sport? It could be a player, a coach, a team, or a sport that you knew nothing about, that you kind of stumbled across, that you kind of say, hey, you know, it's kind of cool. I kind of like it. And for me, it's been lacrosse. And it's been tied into, obviously, working for ESPN and ACC Network, because you get a chance to talk to coaches and players. And like Nakai Montgomery the other week, we could have talked to him for hours. And a fascinating dude. And again, there's so many cool storylines in the sport on both the men's and the women's side here that you can talk forever and ever and ever. So I think the sport's in great shape. It just needs to keep on rocking, and the exposure it's getting on our network and from an ESPN perspective has been out of sight. Really great.
Yeah, we appreciate it. I could tell you, we appreciate it when you and Wes use your platform to talk about the game, and it's genuine, it comes through, and it resonates not just with us, but I can tell you with a lot of the lacrosse community.
Well, thank you, because the sport's been great. When we come back, I kidded around that the first time she made her appearance on our show, Justine Sowery, who is the field hockey coach at Louisville, I kidded around with her. I said, you've got the most unique accent of anybody I've ever met from the Commonwealth. And of course, she alerted me she's not from Kentucky. We will explain, and we'll talk field hockey, because Louisville, everybody's chasing North Carolina. But Justine is a blast. We look forward to having her back, and you will hear what she's got to say next on Packer and Durham, presented by New York Life. Anish filled in for Wes. You got us right here on ACC Network.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham, presented by New York Life. Anish filling in for Wes. Mr. Durham will be back tomorrow. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. We're now joined by Justine Sowery, running the show at Louisville, and we're about ready to get this thing cranked up with the tournament. And always a pleasure to have Justine on. I told her during the break, I said, I have missed this accent, this famous Kentucky accent, more than ever she can ever believe. Justine, how are we doing this morning? We good?
Happy to be here. We're still dancing, and it's great to be talking with you guys.
So, all right, let's get right to it. I kidded around with you that I expect every coach in college athletics to write a book this summer, because this has been one wild ride with the pandemic. Fall season, spring seasons, who can play, testing, are we in, are we out, canceled, postponed, move dates. I mean, it's had a little bit of everything.
Words just cannot even express what we've gone through as a program, as a staff, as a school. But, you know, everyone has their story, but we're happy to be sitting here and still have another opportunity, and certainly given the tournament, the reduced size. So it's been quite the ride, and, yeah. Great time.
Coach, what was the biggest challenge in navigating what is essentially a split season?
Where do I start? I'm not even sure where to start. But at the very beginning in the fall, not really knowing what was around the corner or what we were going to do the very next day. And the ACC was the only conference that decided to go ahead, and it was full steam ahead, and in terms of a performance standpoint, we were doing fantastic. But it took its toll on our student athletes. I mean, I think of our freshmen. It certainly was not the year that they thought that they were going to have coming in, and you know, a lot of online classes. All they had was hockey, strict protocols, and you know, you couldn't socialize or connect with one another. You couldn't hang out in the locker room. It was really, really challenging. And then moving on into the spring season, I mean, who would have thought we'd be playing for the entire year? That's another challenge in itself. But we certainly learned a lot of lessons along the way. We found ways to connect with one another and actually enjoy one another and enjoy being out on the pitch again. But it's certainly been one heck of a year. And here we are. We're still going.
Justine, we've talked a lot about the physical part of this pandemic for student athletes in terms of staying healthy and the testing protocols, and can we even practice and, you know, travel? I mean, we go through the whole list. I don't think enough time has been spent with the mental part of this. And I know coaches have put up with it, had to deal with it, players without question. Can you even quantify just the mental aspect of how difficult this has been? And you just mentioned classes. I mean, we, you know, you take for granted, oh, well, by the way, you're also in school having to become, you know, try to figure out that deal. And Zoom classes are very, very different than being in class person with the, you know, with the professor and so forth. So from a mental aspect, how difficult has this been given how long this season's been?
Yeah, and these young student athletes, they need to be social, they need to be connected. And I mean, we have one example on our team, a young freshman that was quarantined for 42 days just through contact tracing. And it really takes a toll on everybody. And managing this situation, it's been really tough, but we've been there for one another. We have a great situation at the University of Louisville where we have Dr. Vanessa Shannon and Dr. Kate O'Brien taking care of us, not only from a performance standpoint, but in life as well. And so we've learned to do, you know, just different strategies from journaling, from mindfulness, from breathing. You know, we're trying to do the best we can. But, yeah, mental health is real, and it's there, and we just try and address it head on and be there for one another. And there is light at the end of the tunnel. And but there's going to be some pieces to pick up, that's for sure. But we're staying strong as a unit, and we're just really trying to stay together and look forward to this upcoming weekend.
Justine, when your fall season ends in November, you then go 4 months without playing. You pick things up in March. What did you do to map out a plan for what to do in that interim, knowing that the stakes would be pretty significant on the back end?
To be honest, it didn't feel like 4 months. It felt like 2 weeks before we were back at it. But yeah, we returned to school pretty early. Everyone needed a break, to be honest. And so that was great. So we came back pretty fresh. But what was pretty unusual is just the weather conditions. So now you're practicing on dry turf. Now you have ice and snow and, you know, lots of different challenges. We had to go indoors a few weeks there when we had some pretty bad weather here at Louisville. So you just had to adjust and adapt and make the best of the situation. We have great sports performance staff, so we stayed healthy and fit and strong. And then we just tried to, you know, do what we could on the field. I believe it was something like 7 or 8 days that we could actually prepare for our first game in March just because of the weather. So strange times, but just add it to the list of crazy things that's happened in the last year. We lost a lot of players that were on the forward line in particular, so we had to make some adjustments. So we certainly at the beginning were not playing as well, but we feel that we're peaking at the right time.
I saw some highlights there and saw Mercedes Pastore taking care of business. We had her on the show last year, and she was a delight to talk to. I know she's been a delight to coach, but, you know, you got to figure everybody sees Louisville on the schedule, coach. Hey, we know about Mercedes, but you know what? Everybody else has stepped up well, haven't they? I mean, it's really been a great team effort.
Yeah, and they've had to, given some of the positional losses that we've had to shift Mechie out of the midfield line and up onto the forward line. And with that, she just gets a lot of attention. She'll get double teamed, triple teamed, and you know, she's had to work through some frustrations. She, you know, she always kept pushing me. She wanted to be up on the forward line, and now she wants to go back into the midfield line just so she can roam and have a little bit more space to work. But yeah, the people around her have really stepped up. We've had a couple of freshmen that have really been outstanding, as well as Meg Schneider and Ali Bidding as seniors. But collectively, I think that's the great thing about our team. Yes, we have Mechie, but we really have a great supporting cast. We really, you know, we try and play a style that's very team-based, team-first, rather than just focusing on one particular player.
Coach, I know way back in the fall, you guys beat North Carolina. Huge win for you and for the program and in the world of field hockey. So that was a long time ago, but, you know, that was the measuring stick for everybody. Where do you feel that you are now heading into this tournament in terms of readiness, preparation, and what you have to do to be successful here.
Yeah, you know, going into this weekend, I was sort of, well, one, I was relieved that we made the tournament given only three at large, but we're heading to Penn State, a location that we've never played before, and we're playing against Connecticut that we haven't played in a really long time. None of our current student athletes have played against that team. We have a history going back before joining the ACC, being part of the Big East, but our team, we don't know a lot about them. I certainly remember a lot about them. They do the simple very, very well. So certainly we're doing a lot of scouting this week, just familiarising ourselves with some of their key players and the style and the systems that they play. But we really need to take care of what we do. Sometimes we have a tendency to play to our opponent, but we're playing great hockey. So we got to make sure that we're playing Louisville hockey. And, you know, it's going to be won and lost in the circles. So defensively, we've got to be pretty sharp. And then on attack, you know, we've started scoring a few more field goals and we've got to sharpen up in our penalty corners. But we're really excited to come up against the Huskies again.
Justine, now that you see, you mentioned the light at the end of the tunnel and we get to this NCAA deal, is there a sense, is this a sense of electricity and excitement or a sense of relief or maybe both? That we've gotten to this point?
Oh, both, 100%. Last week was strange, right? Sitting on the sidelines and not being able to play in our automatic qualifier. That was one of the most stressful weeks for my life and certainly our program. So we were just watching it all play out. And we were one of the last teams that was read out for the last spot. So definitely relief. And, you know, preparing yourself for maybe telling your team why you didn't make the tournament was just going to be mind-blowing to me. But now we have that opportunity. I'm ecstatic for our program. Just so proud of what we've accomplished over the last year. And we're really excited. They deserve it. They've worked so hard. You know, resilience has been thrown around there a lot this past year, but no one truly knows what we've gone through unless you've really been part of it. So, yeah, just very excited. The team is pretty pumped right now, and our attitude, energy, and effort, it's at the very top. And so, yeah, looking forward to getting out on the training pitch in a couple of hours.
Well, we wish you the very best. It's just good to hear your voice again. I mean that in all sincerity, because I told you, I was kidding around with you. I said, you know, I just miss that Kentucky accent so much since the last time we had you on the show. But I'm glad you've made it to this point. Congratulations to you and the team, and we wish you nothing but the best.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
You got it. Justine Sowery, done a great
job. Thank you, Coach.
At Louisville, taking care of business with the ladies, and they move on. And it has been a grind. You're talking about a long season. Holy mackerel. Unbelievable. But field hockey, rocking and rolling. See what happens on that front. All right, Anish, when we come back, in case folks missed this on Friday, Hubert Davis, the new men's basketball coach at the University of North Carolina, joined the program. And we talked about a little bit of everything with Coach. And so you, in case you missed it Friday, we got you covered next on Packer and Durham. Anish filling in for Wes. You guys right here on ACC Network. That's right. That's Packer and Durham, presented by New York Life. Next, Hubert Davis, right here on the show. Come right back. Pull up a chair. You'll be good to go.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Go ahead, Nick. Thank you. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. In case you missed it on Friday, Hubert Davis, the new men's basketball coach at the University of North Carolina, joined us. And Mr. Durham started the conversation by asking Hubert if they still call him Rook.
It is awesome. And the reason why Coach Ford calls me Rook was because I was the only freshman coming in. I was supposed to come in with Kenny Williams, and he didn't make it in. And so I was the only incoming freshman. So everybody on the team, instead of calling me Hubert, they called me Rook. And it has stuck with me throughout the years. And so Coach Ford, every time that he sees me, he says, "What's up, Rook?" And so I know where that's coming from, and I absolutely love it. But it was, you know, in 1976, that's when Coach Smith was, you know, the head coach of the United States Olympic team. And it was me, my mom, and my dad. We drove all the way from Washington, D.C. to Montreal, Canada, and watched them win the gold medal. And then we drove back home with Uncle Walt and Coach Ford all the way back. We stopped back at home in Washington, D.C., and then we dropped them off in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. And it is, the story is unbelievable. You know, growing up at that age, I had always wanted to go to Carolina. You know, just seeing Uncle Walt and his success at North Carolina, and, you know, becoming friends, basically family members, you know, with Coach Ford. And to think that I got a chance to play at Carolina. And then after playing in the NBA, I had a chance for 9 years to be an assistant back here at North Carolina. And now I'm the head coach. It's just full circle. You know, I always wanted to be here. I wanted to graduate here. I wanted to be a part of this history. I wanted to walk out of that tunnel. I wanted to play on that floor. I wanted to be coached by Coach Smith. And so many people don't get that chance. They don't get that opportunity. And I did. And it's just been so much more than I would have ever hoped or dreamed of. This is my home. And this is where my wife and I got married. This is where we fell in love. This is where I became a Christian. And to think that I still have a chance and an opportunity to be in these kids' lives every day and give them back everything that Coach Smith and Coach Guthridge did for me, and everything that Coach Williams did for all the players that he coached in the last 18 years here at North Carolina, it puts me in a position of being thankful and very humble.
I want to know this. When he told you, whenever the official word came to you, hey, congratulations, Hubert, you're the next head basketball coach at the University of North Carolina. When you heard that, kind of tell us what goes through your head. I don't know if it was a phone call, a Zoom call, in person. I don't know the answer. But as soon as that exchange ended and you had your wife or you in your own room, whatever it was, what happens? I mean, what you got to feel almost, I'd feel like you could walk on air, like, oh, my God. I'm the head basketball coach at North Carolina. Take us through that.
Well, where I first heard it was over Bubba's house. And we had a number of meetings, in-person Zoom calls while he was still in Indianapolis. And I was over at his house, and he says he'd like me to be the next head coach at the University of North Carolina. And I can't tell you, it was an out-of-body experience. I was in the clouds, and I remember getting in the car, driving home, and as soon as I walked into the house, my wife just looked at me, and she didn't know how to respond. And I just told her, I said, you know, Leslie, I'm the next head coach of the University of North Carolina. We both just started crying, and we hugged each other, and it was just a really cool moment. My kids came out of their playroom. They were playing video games, and they were going crazy. And to be able to share that moment with my family was just absolutely unbelievable. And, you know, really, the first time that it really set in was when I parked in Coach Williams, Coach Smith, and Coach Guthridge's parking spot. When I parked in that spot and then I walked in Coach Williams' office, that's when it really set in that I was in a position that from great men and great coaches, and it was just an unbelievable opportunity. And when Bubba told me that, I was in the clouds, but it was great to be able to share that with my family as soon as I got home.
And I want to follow up on that real quick, because since Roy announced his retirement, we've done some great specials on the network about Roy Williams. Yeah. And I mean, obviously, you know him, and so does Wes. We all do. And he's a terrific person and great coach.
Yep.
But I thought one of the cool things that Roy told everybody was what was in the office. And that was something that was passed down from Dean Smith of the Thought of the Day. It's on that ring, right, that binder.
I have it right there on my desk.
Okay, and so I wanted to follow up with you on that. So here we are on Friday. It's it's April 23rd. What is today's thought of the day?
Okay, a mistake is good when you recognize it, admit it, learn from it, and grow from it.
There you go.
That's the thought of the day.
And I knew that when we had you scheduled for today that we didn't screw up. So, I mean, no. We're already on a roll here. We're rolling on this bad one.
But I've got all those thoughts of the day on my desk, and I also have a jar, and on the jar it has excuses. And that's what Coach Guthridge had on his desk while he was an assistant coach and head coach. And so anytime that you walked into the office and you said, well, I'm sorry I was late to class, or I'm sorry I didn't do this, he would say, just be quiet, write it down on a piece of paper, put it in this little jar. He says, I don't want to hear the excuses. So I have that on my desk as well, and it's pretty cool.
What do you think will make the Hubert Davis era distinctive, which is different than Roy and Guthridge and Dean and McGuire?
Well, I believe in the foundation of this program. You know, if I've experienced, it's been tried, tested, it's been proven successful over the years. And so the foundation of Carolina basketball is going to be the same on, off the court, and in the classroom. I don't have any desire to change that at all. One of the things that I have said is that I want to walk the same path as Coach Smith, Coach Guthridge, and Coach Williams, but I have to do it with my personality and in my shoes. And so there'll be tweaks, there'll be changes, there'll be things that I alter, but it'll be because of my personality in my shoes. But I believe in Coach Smith and Coach Guthridge and Coach Williams. I've experienced this place, and it's been proven successful over the years, and I have no desire to change that at all.
Jeff Lebow represents one of those eras you were talking about. I mean, he's a former teammate of yours. Jack Emanuel represents another era. Brad Frederick represents an era. Sean May represents an era. That was vitally important to what you wanted to do with this program. And when did that come to you that, hey, look, we got to do this, and we're going to do it the way everybody knows we need to do it?
Well, you know, that was just really important for me. You know what? One of the things that I want is I want every former player that played for Coach Smith, whether they're coming to practice, watching on TV, coming to a game, coming to a shoot around, I want them to instantly just identify with the experience that they had at Carolina. I want the same thing for everybody that played for Coach Guthridge. I want everybody that played for Coach Doherty. And for every former player that played for Coach Williams, I want them to identify with this place. And when they see us on TV, when they come to practice, when they come to shoot arounds, when they read about us in the paper, I want them to have a smile on their face. And I want them to say, that's the Carolina that I went to. And so in order to do that and bring the family in full circle together, I think it was really important to connect all parts of this family. And I wanted to connect the parts of Coach Smith and Coach Guthridge and Coach Doherty and Coach Williams. And I wanted everybody connected together to be a family. And that's what I wanted our staff to be. And I'm so excited about them. Mm-hmm. They bring all a different perspective, because even though we all went to the same place, and from a foundation standpoint, we went and had the same experiences, but in little ways, we all went to a different place because we had different coaches that had different personalities. And to give our players now the full menu of what this place is all about, I think you need to have examples from all different types of coaches that have coached here. And I'm so excited, and it's just been unbelievable to work with all of them the last 3 weeks.
That was Hubert Davis on Friday's Packer and Durham. And Anish, two men's basketball coaches, new jobs opened up. BC with Earl Grant taking over, and Hubert Davis now at North Carolina. It'll be interesting to see how they both adjust to the new positions.
Yeah, I think Hubert Davis is going to be a great fit. Listen, he played there, Carolina guy. He was there with Roy Williams. They groomed him for this job to be Roy's successor. And, I think the challenge for any coach, returning or new, we're in a new world order in college basketball. Building a team today is harder than it's ever been. And that doesn't matter if you're at UNC or Duke or Gonzaga or anywhere else. The transfer portal and the way kids operate these days, it's probably harder now than it's ever been to be a head basketball coach at the college level.
I don't think there is any question about that. And one of these days, we'll sit down with Roy Williams, and I'll be curious to hear what he's got to say. And of course, we wish Coach the very best in retirement and hanging out on the golf course and playing with the grandkids and everything else. But, you know, when he mentioned in his press conference, you know, I'm just not the right man for the job, you're like, what are you talking about? The guy's a legendary Hall of Fame coach to make a comment like that at your school. I mean, it just didn't even sound right. But, you know, you're right. I mean, the landscape right now of college athletics is as different as it's ever been. And we are walking into a whole brand new era. And so for Hubert Davis, yeah, there's no doubt he's got the pedigree, that he understands the tradition, the history. There's no question he's part of that. But it is a different universe that all of these coaches are going into. It's fascinating times.
Yeah, and just from a team-building standpoint, you know, you used to be able to come in, and Carolina's different, right? I mean, usually you have a ready-made team. You're contending almost every year. But usually if you're a new coach coming in anywhere, you say, all right, we got a three-year plan. I mean, I look at what happened at Pitt with Jeff Capel, right? Audis Toney and Xavier Johnson and Trey McGowan's part of that first recruiting class. These look like legitimate building blocks to get Pitt right. All have gone and left the program. So it is harder now than ever to build a team. It's harder now than ever to project what you're going to be in 2, 3, 4 years. Free agency, the portal has changed so much. And I'm curious to see who are the guys that can get ahead of this curve, right? There's always a market inefficiency that can be exploited. Who can be ahead of that wave and figure out this is how to manipulate the portal? This is how to be successful year in, year out, especially if you're, you know, not getting one-and-dones like Duke and Kentucky. It's going to be different because we're in a brave new world right now.
Anish, I'm also curious to see the trickle-down effect on fan bases because, you know, you get so used to the rhythm of a team being built as a fan. Oh, man, we've got some great freshmen. Boy, I can't wait to see what they look like as sophomores, juniors, and if they happen to hang around. Heaven forbid somebody's a senior and wants to stay in college, especially in a basketball world. But as a fan, you know, the sport is changing. And, you know, I don't care if you've got the pedigree of a Duke or Kentucky or North Carolina or Michigan State or Indiana, you fill in the blank here, it's different. And even fan bases are going to have to adapt to the fact that, hey, I have to buy a program every single year because I simply have no earthly idea what a team or a roster is going to look like, whether you're a blue blood or a team that's been a resident doormat in a college basketball conference.
That scares me. That scares me as a college basketball fan, somebody who covers the sport. Because that's how you lose fan interest, when there is this revolving door and a constant change in the cast of characters. Yes, I'll always root for the name on the front of the jersey, but you know, you get a promising freshman who averages 7 points a game. What do you do as a fan? You project what he's going to be. Can he be a guy that gives you 12 as a sophomore and be all conference as a junior? Well, now he may not be around as a junior. And if he averages 12 as a sophomore, he might be averaging 16 for somebody else as a junior, or he may not even be in college. It's becoming harder and harder for, I think, fans to kind of find that connection with their teams because you don't have 3, 4 year guys like you used to. And if you're getting them, it might be their second or third stop. And, you know, college basketball is now becoming essentially who can build the best army of Hessians, right? Like, where can I get the mercenaries from? I can't sit here and say, well, hey, you can't give the kids these opportunities to transfer. But I feel like we're missing a middle ground somewhere. I feel like we're missing a middle ground that takes into account, you know, the long-term health of the game.
Well, I was going to say, not only does that player potentially get up and leave, you may have to play against them in your own league. He may go, or she may go to somebody else within the conference you're in. So, crazy times, but it is what it is. When we come back, we'll talk some more lacrosse. But I got news for you. Tonight, 8 Eastern time. Get this one all over you. We're going to have the best of the ACC Women's Golf Championship that was played at Sedgefield Country Club in Greensboro. That was April the 15th through the 18th. You can watch the one-hour recap right here on ACC Network or, of course, the ESPN app. And the men, of course, coming up top of the hour at 9 a.m. It's Florida State against Clemson for the ACC Championship on the links. We'll get you up to speed on those results on Tuesday's show, I promise. When we come back, making his debut, Cam Macri. Yeah, he's actually related to the voice of victory, Josh Macri. But we'll talk UNC lacrosse. And it's coming up next on Packer and Durham, presented by New York Life. Anish filling in for Wes. Pull up a chair. We'll come right back to you here on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.
Welcome to Packer and Durham, presented by New York Life.
Packer and Durham, Anish filling in for Wes. Wes will be back tomorrow. All right, let's get right to it. UNC men's lacrosse. Cam Macri joins us bright and early this morning, and he is a cousin of Josh Macri, the voice of victory, one of the Lumberjacks that runs this bad show up there. One of the smart people, we call him, the smart people up there in Bristol. Cam, good morning, man. How you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
I'm stunned that Macri didn't book you for 7:15. You know, that would be a typical cousin move to get you out of bed at least an hour and a half early to be on the show.
I'm very thankful that he didn't, yeah. Right.
You guys must be on speaking terms. All right, let's get to lacrosse.
We are.
Anish, of course, is our lacrosse expert. He's on top of this thing. This league is ridiculous, isn't it? I mean, every single match just feels like, hey, it's fourth quarter, it's go time. It's amazing how good the lacrosse is.
It's been incredible. I mean, every game you've seen comes down to the wire. You saw Notre Dame and Duke on Thursday. It was a two-goal game with under a minute and went into overtime. And it's kind of the same thing we were seeing yesterday. We knew we had to finish at the end of that game against Notre Dame, and thankfully we did.
Cam, I've watched your team this year and the way you guys play. There's a connectivity. There's a rhythm. I've said it a few times. You can almost set your offense to music, but you play defense. So give me an idea of what it's like facing that offense every day in practice.
Oh, man, it's the best thing that you can do to prepare for any ACC offense is to play one of the best offenses in the country. Being able to go against Chris Gray every day and then the midfield prowess with Will Perry and Justin Anderson, Tanner Cook, Henry Schertzinger as of late has been incredible. He's an incredibly athletic midfielder. So it's the best thing you can do, like I said, to prepare for any other team is to go against them every day.
By the way, speaking of Justin Anderson, he was on with us a week ago. You guys got anything lined up for his 30th birthday party next week?
No, nothing, but we're having stuff planned for his baby that's coming in any time now. So that'll be interesting. That'll be a lot of fun.
And how crazy is that for a team? I mean, he kind of kidded around. Everybody calls him dad and everything else. When you have a guy with that kind of experience, I mean, it's got to lend to a different sideline, a different huddle, a different locker room, though, doesn't it?
I mean, it is interesting. It's a unique situation, but I mean, he's incredible. He's a great leader. He has been for 5 years. And when he's on the field, he is dialed in and he's always fired up and gets the boys ready to go. So, I mean, he's just always a great presence to have around.
Cam, what is the plan if Justin's baby comes, you know, mid-May, whether it's first round weekend or quarterfinal weekend? What's the plan if that's the timing?
You know, I'll let him figure that one out. I think the plan is to show up every day and practice at 100% and then go home and spend time with his wife and newborn. But, yeah, I'll leave that one up to him.
All right. Duke is coming up. Anytime it's Duke, North Carolina, I don't care what the sport is, you know it's going to be good. You throw in the combination of men's lacrosse, you know it's going to be great. What did you learn from the first one, which was an incredible game here on ACC Network? And what do you expect coming up this week?
I mean, I expect another great game. Honestly, we have to play 60 minutes, if not more, as we learned last time. And I think we know we can beat anyone in the country if we play to our potential for a full 60 minutes plus. So we know that they're a great team. We, you know, again, we saw them earlier. We know what to expect for the most part. So I mean, I think we're just fired up to get out there and play as well as we can and hopefully get the win and get the ACC championship win along with it.
Cam, in that first game against Duke, you were guarding Michael Sowers, who is hailed as the best player in college lacrosse. Describe what that challenge is like when you have to face somebody like a Sowers.
Yeah, I think took a couple dodges to get my feet under me, I'd say. I mean, he has elite quickness, as we know. But we had a great plan defensively, I thought, from a slide package perspective behind me. So it's really just trying to match feet the best you can, stay in front of him, try to just close the gap. If he gets, you know, room to dance around behind X and feel himself a little bit, it's he can be dangerous. So just making him feel uncomfortable. We locked him off a little bit to try to throw him off. And so, yeah, just do the best you can matching feet, I think, at the end of the day.
Your brother won a natty at North Carolina. Does he ever remind you, hey, guess what, Cam, time to join the mix?
Occasionally. I was at that game, and that was an incredible weekend. And he's incredibly supportive. He's been at every game this year. So he's just fired up for the team this year and our chances of hopefully making a run at it.
Cam, I want to ask you about your goalie, because going into the season, nobody really knew who Colin Krieg was. He was a surprise starter for a lot of us at the start of the year, and he's been sensational. What has impressed you about the way he's handled all these ACC offenses as a true freshman?
I cannot give Krieg enough credit, honestly, for what he's been able to do. It kind of blows me away every day. He is just so steady. He's got a little bit of that goalie craziness in him, where he's always singing a song in cage, always humming something, and just he's just flatline, steady as can be. And that comes through on game day. You see it in practice every day, and he does not change one bit when it comes to these big games, and it's been absolutely huge for us to have him be rock solid in cage behind our defense.
So what's he humming?
His favorite tune?
Yeah, what's the deal there?
Even he'll tell you it's literally could be anything, just something that he hears that morning, and then it sticks with him, and he's just dancing around, just humming, singing in cage. I couldn't tell you really what's going on in his head.
All right, I'm going to throw our traditional question on you here. And again, I don't know why it took you so long to be on the show. I'd blame Josh, your cousin, on this. You should have been on, and this is show number 371. You should have been on at least the first 50 shows. I don't know what the problem is there. I'll let you take that up with them. But we ask this to every student athlete that appears on the show. Since you've been at the University of North Carolina, what has been your hardest class?
There were a couple tough ones as an econ major, couple tough econ classes, but I think the toughest was econ 420, which was macroeconomics.
Yeah,
very tough all the way through, but managed to do all right in it.
Yeah, I was an econ major too. I'm with you on that. You got to put in the work. You can't just say, whatever, catch you later, I'm going to miss classes. That doesn't work. Doesn't work.
So exactly.
I can relate to you on that front. Well, listen, keep up the great work. I mean, Anish will tell you because he covers it nonstop, but really, it has been a joy to watch everybody in this league play. Men and women in lacrosse, all of you have put on an incredible display all season long. We wish you nothing but the best.
Thank you very much, and thanks for having me.
You got it. Cam Macri, related to Josh Macri, voice of victory. And don't you know, when Cam and the boys put that 21-9 thumping on the Cuse up there at the Dome about a week or so ago, that will come up in the family discussion, Anish. That was a beatdown.
Yeah, I mean, that was annihilation. By the way, econ major, that didn't work out, huh?
No, I graduated in 4 years. I was an econ major. No, that was me, man. I'm into it. The world's all about supply and demand. The whole world's about supply and demand. Nothing's changed. All right, here's the deal. 2 hours down. The Power Hour is next, and we're going to give you the best of and the worst of the weekend. And there was a bunch of best, which we'll get into. We'll take calls, too, if you're in the mood, at 844-SAY-ACCN. Got Anish Shroff. He's filling in for Wes Durham. It's Packer Durham presented by New York Life. And you got us right here on ACC Network.
Packer and Durham.